Pretty incredible, but football season is here. Chiefs and Texans kicking off Thursday night. And, of course, the Bears and the Lions noon on Sunday. I'm actually thinking back as we start this podcast to a Bears-Lions game in 2013. That's right. Josh McCown on the bench, Jay Cutler on the field, Cuddy throwing three picks, losing a fumble, and the Bears losing a football game after they started the season 3-0, could have been 4-0, Cuddy single-handedly imploding on that Week 4 game. Reason why I bring that up, Jermon Bushrod is on the podcast today, of course, on that 2013 team, witnessed Josh McCown firsthand. Did the Bears make the wrong move going back to Cutler in a season where they had a ton of talent and ended up missing the playoffs in Mark Trestman's first year? Why am I bringing this up now? Well, the Bears are going with Mitchell Trubisky. How long do they stay with Trubisky? When do they go to Foles? And if Foles plays well or doesn't play well, and how do you go back? The way they use the quarterbacks this season, Matt Nagy, you are under the microscope. This will be, at least in my opinion, outside of health, which is always the number one thing in an NFL season, but this will be the biggest reason why or why not the Bears make the playoffs in 2020. Was Trubisky the right call? I don't know. Maybe they're right. Plays well against Detroit. If he sucks, you can go to Nick. It won't matter. Trubisky, if you bench him to start the season, maybe his confidence goes in the tank, or maybe this is the one-finger salute and he's just done. Can't wait to get out of Chicago, shuts down, and is already gearing up for his fifth year in the NFL in a whatever uniform it's going to be. Mitch will give you one more chance. This is it. And we know that, hey, if you suck, we can bring in Foles and he'll roll with it. I get it. I think it's actually the right move. I didn't think they were going to do this, but I think it's the right move. But how long do you stick with him? What happens if he's mediocre in week one and you win? Do you use him again? I don't know. But the way the Bears went about it in 2013, when Josh McCown was throwing 13 touchdown passes and one interception, that was a mistake to not play McCown and going back to Cutler and losing games down the stretch when McCown was so respected in that locker room. So having the pulse of the team in 2020, Matt Nagy, it's on you, pal. Make the right decision. On that note, let's bring in today's guest, Jermon Bushrod. Please like, subscribe, and any comments, giving a five-star rating is oh so appreciated on the Windy City Podcast. Bears and the Lions coming up on Sunday. Here's former Bear, Jermon Bushrod. The two-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, all-around class act. Jermon Bushrod, great to see you this afternoon. Thank you for taking some time.
It's good to be here. Definitely feel good being here. Thank you.
So I want to have a little fun here and start with your Chicago career, which unfortunately you didn't get to play on any great Bears teams.
But sure.
So I was doing radio back in 2013, and I was saying, look, Josh McCown is a leader.
Yeah.
He's throwing 13 touchdowns. He's only got one pick. I know these guys like him. They won't come out and say it, but like, and there was all this push. We got to go back to Cutler when he got healthy. And I'm like, no. Go with that dude. He's hot.
We were riding the wave, man. It was a good thing we had going for sure.
So was it a mistake to go back to Cuddy?
Hey, look, I'm not going to put the GM hat on right now, but I just know as a player, when you get hurt, it's tough to, first off, it's tough to be on the sideline, but second, to see somebody in there doing so well, so then obviously that brings up so many more questions. I mean, I believe Jay had just got paid that year. I believe so. So, you know, you're not going to have the high-priced guy on the bench, you know, but we were definitely riding the wave, man. We had some fun when Josh came in there. He lit it up for us.
I mean, he was like quality guy. Josh McCown didn't put himself in front of the team, right?
Yeah, he's a good person. Like, great man. just all around, just the type of leader that you want, you know, in the huddle for sure. I mean, I can give you a little story going back to the game he got hurt. I think it was the same game Aaron Rodgers went down as well. It was a Monday night in Green Bay. And I remember Josh came in there. He was pumped up, man. He was ready to go. He was like, hey, because I think we were losing at this point. He was like, hey, let's go do something special. You know, let's give a story that we can, you know, that we can tell one day to our grandkids. And we were like, all right, man, let's go win this game. Like, that's the type of attitude that he had going into every single day. And, you know, to have that come into a game when, you know, your starter just went down, the emotions can probably be a little low at the time, but he corralled us back up and got us going. I think we won that game too.
You had some personalities on that team. Now you had Brandon.
Yes.
It was a lot of talent on that team, actually, really. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you looked at it on the offensive side, I mean, and the defensive side of the ball. We had some players that could make plays, that played football at a high level for a very long time. It was definitely disappointing that we couldn't turn that my first year there into a playoff run, because we definitely had the talent and we were a Hail Mary away.
Yeah. Did you see the comments from Brian Urlacher recently?
I did. I thought it was in poor judgment and poor taste at the time.
This was my take on it. I don't want to put you in an awkward spot here, but let's just name it. Like, look, if you come from somewhere where the only people you see are white people, and you've been told all this terrible stuff about black people or whoever, and that's your viewpoint, well, then I can sort of give you a break that you're just like not educated. But here's
the thing, though. If that's the thing about football, and that's the thing about playing a team sport, like, that individual that you line up next to on each side of you, you know, so you invest so much on that field when you're training, when you're playing, like, you will give your body up, you'll sacrifice, you'll do anything. But if you can't, you know, if players are voicing their opinion about issues that they feel like are important, and you're not, your eyes aren't open and your ears aren't open, your heart's not open, to just have understanding that, you know, different people come from different backgrounds. So certain instances and stories mean a lot to them. So that's what makes it so frustrating when people, or when certain individuals, just don't get it. And some people won't get it. You can't change all, but you can try to change somebody who's on the fence somewhere, you know.
It's just harder to believe that somebody who would be in that environment, an NFL locker room, would quote unquote not get it. Like, come on, man.
Come on. It was two totally different situations. Like, I remember when Urlacher played. This is 2012. His mother had passed, and he had just flown down to New Orleans to play in the game. Like, I get it. You got to be tough. But this is two totally different issues here. Like,
right, and just incredibly disappointing. What was your reaction with Drew Brees? And obviously, he's made a major turn, and you got to play and win. You know, and win a Super Bowl with Drew. But you know, he had to walk back some stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little disappointing. You know, him and I, we did exchange texts about it, so I'm okay talking about it, but I told him how we felt about it. I told him how I felt about it. And the thing is, at the end of the text I had sent him, I told him, like, I know the man you are. I know the leader you are. Like, I've been in that locker room with you for 7 years. You have, you know, you part of my motivation to want to work as hard as I do, because, you know, when you're playing with a guy like that, future Hall of Famer, you know, first ballot, like, you don't want to let your whole team down. You know, you want to be at your best. So, you know, when you can't put yourself in other people's shoes, or you take a message and it gets twisted, and then that narrative continues to get pushed, it doesn't help what some of your friends are fighting for. And the great thing about his situation in New Orleans, they have tremendous leadership down there. You know, Malcolm said what he said, but Malcolm is in the community. He's putting some action behind his voice, and DeMario Davis and Ben Watson and Drew have a good relationship. So I'm not worried about it. You know, Drew's going to get it done. And that's the one thing I love about him as a person, as the man that he is. I'm hoping Urlacher can backtrack and kind of understand as well, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And I've seen guys, Rashid Davis is reaching out to him, and like, we're going to try to help save Brian. It's like, you know what? Some guys are not savable. Maybe he is, right. But you know that, hey, if you're off the reservation, so to speak, and you're gone, well, okay. I mean, I don't think it's on Rashid or anybody else to try to bring him back, but I appreciate the effort at the same time too.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what it's about. It's about educating people, and and seeing the other side of it. Something like just going back to what you just said. Some people want to be changed. Some people don't know any better. You know, you just don't know. So you don't know how you feel about something. So maybe not, but I know it doesn't look good for him.
And for the record on Drew, we had him on the podcast all the way back in 2017. And I asked him at the time, like, hey, how would you feel, you know, if the Saints went out and signed Cap? And he said, and I'm taking him as word, he's like, it's fine with me. Like, if he's going to, you know.
The thing about Drew, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but no, the thing about Drew's situation is, like, you can have a stance on it, but then you can also be very understanding of where the other group is coming from. You know, like, hey, Drew, you know, it could have been, you know exactly how I feel about it. I've stated it in the past, but with the issues going on now, with everything that's going on all around our country, you know, it just, you know, could have changed the message a little bit, but he's doing a great job of making sure he's putting his action behind his words.
I want to get out what you're working on here today, Jermon Bushrod, with us here, as you see. You are with the Visualize and Rise Foundation. You've donated close to $1 million to a variety of causes, by the way, in your home state of Virginia, throughout the country. You've got a golf tournament that's in its 10th year. Talk about what you're working with here, Jermon.
We just finished our 10th annual celebrity golf tournament. It was kind of a tough situation. We didn't know if we were going to be able to pull it off or not. It was supposed to be in June. We postponed it to August. But the good thing about golf is the one sport that you can socially distance. It's kind of already built in, so it kind of worked out. But we did have to take some extra precautions in the beginning with our registration and at the end with our lunch and our ceremony. But it all worked out. It was our best year we've ever had. I couldn't believe it. We were going into the situation thinking we were just going to hit our minimums and, you know, trying to keep our expenses low, but we far exceeded what we wanted to do. We sold out our tournament. We had double the amount of sponsors, and we're going to make a big impact this year, especially with this, everything that's going on, that's been affected through this pandemic. You know, people need food to eat, and the education drop off is going to be tough for certain individuals, certain families. So we're looking to bridge the gap somehow, to maybe set up a tuition assistance program in Virginia. And then if we can get those rolling the way we want to, we'll see what else we can do.
So along those lines, and it kind of bothers me because people are going at players like, well, it's one thing to put a name on your jersey like guys in the NBA are doing, or you're going to sit out a game, but how are you guys going to make impact, lasting, you know, long-lasting change? Like, well, hold on a second. These are professional athletes. It's not just on them to do this. That's ridiculous. Right. But then on the other side of the coin, I'm sure there's something on your heart that you would like to see done that might impact things long term. Like, is there anything that you're really hoping for right now?
I'm just hoping that we unite and everyone comes together, and players, because, you know, I understand that negativity sells and the thing of, you know, what are you guys doing outside of just talking or putting things on your jersey? Well, a lot of guys have foundations. A lot of guys are spending their time and their money and their effort to go out here to make their communities a better place. And it's a big deal to us and for us that we make sure that we help out those who come after us. You know, we can be like a piece of motivation, man, for them. You know, I come from a town of less than 5,000 people. For me to get drafted, the first one in my town, you know, it means something to me that when I can start a Visualize and Rise Foundation, and I can go back every single year and have these kids around in these free youth camps, and we can get the community together. Like, guys are doing that all over the place, and we need to start highlighting, you know, the work that is being done. So as long as we're continue to help out our community in whatever way we see fit, because there's a lot of ways that you can help out. You can help out with your funds. You can help out with your time. You can help out with both. You can tweet messages or just positive news.
I'm thinking of, and by the way, Towson University, what's going on here? Look at Jermon.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give some love right here. But I'm thinking about a comment that Akeem Hicks of the Bears made a couple months back, and he's talked about, like, look, whenever I walked into any room, I was this big guy, and I had to make people, and I'm a black guy, and I got to make people feel comfortable around me, so I kind of got to diminish myself. And So I'm sure you can relate to this, right? Like, how did you sort of make it out that you weren't the scary person, which shouldn't have been something you had to do, but it probably was, you know, part of your life.
Well, it comes with the territory, you know. You look at Akeem is a large individual. You know, I've had the pleasure of being with him his first couple years in the league, but he's a large man in my playing days, and I'm still tall. I'm trying not to be as wide as I was when I was playing. I'm trying to slim it down, but, you know, I am the 6'5 black man that walks into a room. So as soon as I walk in, it's like, who is he? Or who does he play for? Or what do you do? Or what do you know? It's so it can be, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a little weird at times because, you know, you feel eyes and things on you, but I've always been the type of individual to walk around with a smile on my face. And you know, I'm naturally at heart, just I try to be a loving individual. Now, when I'm on that practice field or when I had the opportunity to play, you got to flip that switch. You know, you got to be somebody you're not for 3.5 hours or a couple hours at practice. You know, you got to find a way to flip that switch. And that's just life. You know, that's how I am when it comes to business and football. But when you see me off, I'm joking around, you know, half the time. I'm smiling. I try to, you know, try to keep a light, you know, happy environment around me. And, you know, definitely leaning on my family and friends for that.
You made me think about Shaq for a second there. I don't know why. Like, has anybody ever said that you got a slight Shaq sound to you?
I hear that all the time, man. I hear it all the time. You're definitely just – see, you're pushing that narrative that I didn't want out there. Now you're just pushing it even more.
I wasn't expecting that. It just came as like something like, well, there's a big jolly African-American dude who, you know, owns every room. Yeah. And he's just a beautiful man. I love him. And so anyway, appreciate you.
I appreciate that. It's not a bad comparison to be.
Yeah, honest. No. That's a straight compliment. Can we get a little love on the jerseys behind you there? We got Matt Slauson. Is that Ndamukong Suh? Didn't you tussle with him? You got his jersey up there?
Yeah, of course, man. That's my guy. I learned a lot from him. My first few years playing, well, not my first few years, but my first few couple years playing right guard. That was the guy I had to, you know, go up against in practice. And, you know, I've always respected his game. He was always a tough player. I did have the opportunity to line up against him sometimes when he was with the Lions. But I respected his game. So, you know, we're cool, man. That's my guy. I got a pretty good bid here.
Oh, my God.
As you can tell. I still have a pile sitting. You know, I do the framing myself. So that's what I've been doing in my retirement life. I've been trying to get a little bit more handy around this house.
Well, you've also, I mean, I'm checking out your Twitter, Jermaine. You look like you've lost, I don't know, how much, 50 pounds? How much?
I'm probably down about 30, 35. Look, I went back home to Virginia, so I was there for about a week. That usually doesn't help my diet and what I'm trying to do on my life personally, trying to get my body right, but I'm definitely down about 30, 35.
How have you done it? I mean, what did I read on your Twitter? You're going back into the bushes? What did you say?
Oh, that was my hashtag. Yeah. Trim the bush. You know, yeah. whatever kind of meaning you want, you want to take from it. But trim the bush is just me. You know, people call me Bush. I'm trying to trim it down a little bit. But you know, I'm doing it with a pretty good diet, man. My wife keeps me on track, and that's I can't eat like an offensive lineman.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I don't want to make it weird here, but you look like you're doing work, Jermaine. I feel like you could run up and down the hoop court right now or wherever you want to go, by the way.
I could give you a couple games for sure.
Figured we'd end it with a little hoop talk from Jermaine. Class act, right? Very likable. Really enjoy the conversation. Thank you for listening to DeWindy City Podcast. Again, comment, like, subscribe, give a rating. I really appreciate it. We will see you next time.